Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to the U Up podcast. It's Nikki Glaser. I'm in New York City. I'm starting this podcast with lozenges in my mouth, but like, you know what? There's just no time. I got to get my B12 in. This has been the one window of my day that I've been able to take my B12, which you need as a vegan, or you start craving salmon and seaweed. When I have weird, intense cravings for like a certain food, I always look at that food and I go, what does that food have in it? What's that packed like with? What vitamin? And then I realize, oh yeah, I'm deficient in that. But it's always B12. Anyway, I'm getting it in now. And for some reason, can you just swallow the lozenges?
Sure. Yeah, you can. I mean, I don't know what...
Will it be the same absorption as the ones that you're supposed to take in your mouth? Because I would just swallow these. I love swallowing a pill.
I don't know. I don't know the science behind why you have to wait for it to melt in your mouth. Like, won't it melt in your stomach? Why are we getting ahead of it?
Agreed. I think it's because it's for people who don't like to swallow pills, but I have no problem swallowing pills.
So swallow away.
I don't know. I just feel like it's like maximum absorption or something.
I mean...
It's like rubbing Coke in your gums or swallowing a Coke pill.
That's a good point. But
just
no one,
get it in right away.
Yeah, so why don't you put the lozenge in your nose?
I do. I mean, I'm going to get a grinder and start snorting it and just rubbing it on my gums. I mean, that's pretty much, you can do it liquid form. You can just chug it in the morning.
Why don't we snort more pills? Like, I'm not kidding, though. Like, why not snorting Advil or something? Because you want it to happen as quick as possible. Right. Get it straight to the brain.
Right. Because I think your nasal cavities are so sensitive, that's probably the worst kind of absorption.
Dude, I can show you a list of about 20 guys that have done coke for about, I don't know, 30 years, and they have no nose.
Exactly. If you're doing it every day, if you're snorting something every day, that's going to be dangerous. But
my favorite breed of person is a fat cokehead. It's my favorite person. I have an ex-buddy. But he's probably like 600 pounds, and he does blow every day.
And he, I don't...
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Cokeheads, like, just live among me. Like, I don't know them to be until way later. I don't notice. I don't pick up on it.
I do like that people were sitting next to us and just left.
Yeah, I scared people away because I started broadcasting. I'm at my hotel, in the lobby of my hotel where I'm staying. In between my apartments that I'm living in. My new apartment doesn't have any furniture in it yet, so I'm kind of, like, displaced at the moment. So I'm staying at this luxurious hotel. This hotel, I fucking love it. I'm not going to say where it is, but it's, like, I will it enough. No, I'm not going to. This is, like, I don't want anyone knowing I like it because it's awesome. I mean, you walk in here and you feel like you're on a movie set. The lobby of this place is, like, packed. It's, like, it was casted.
Have you been to... A different hotel, the Bowery Hotel?
I think I've been to that one, too. That's a happening spot, too.
It's the same kind of feel where it's
the, like, Ace Hotel.
It's all a bunch of, like, kind of, like, financy, then, like, cool people come.
But the setting is adorable. It looks so cute. They do a great job. I came here the other night because I had a fitting that I didn't know I had until, you know, an hour before it happened. And I hate fittings, as you know, but I do love my stylists, and they're always such a joy to see, and I always have, like, an emotional breakdown during a session with them. They've seen me at my worst, like, just crying naked. Like, that's what these girls have seen over the years, and they're so nice, but I came here, I thought it was going to be, like, one fitting for one outfit, and it was the whole season of outfits. And I felt not good about myself that day. I just wasn't in the mood to, like, stare in the mirror and put on tight clothes and, like, look at pictures of myself. And but they were really great, and they helped me through it, and they understood that I wasn't prepared for it. And so it all actually went well. And so that's what I came here for, that fitting. And I was like, this hotel is fucking awesome. It feels like it could be haunted in a way. The room is so, so tiny. It is kind of ideal, but I can't really move around at all. But it's just super cozy. I love it. I love it. I love it. You've been here before?
I have been here before with my rich, you know, I have, like, this set of rich friends. Mm-hmm. So they come here and, like, we'll pregame. They'll stay here. It's fancy. I mean,
it is. It was cheap.
Really?
Yeah, it was not that bad.
We did a dinner here, and my friends, they like to like run up like a $3,000 bill.
Jesus.
Like, your wife like hate you? You know, but I don't know. Maybe they have a separate account like for the hookers and for lobster.
Both feel like you're cheating.
Both are bottom feeders.
Oh, no.
When, first of all, you've never been tanner, but
I know. I am DJ Tanner right now, dude. I am so tan. I told this bitch to go dark, and she did not skimp.
Can I ask, do they give you, like 1 through 10 when you get in there?
No, I just kind of spitballed with the lady. Andrew, don't make me feel insecure about this. I'm serious. I can't handle it right now.
Okay.
I have to shoot a goddamn TV show on tomorrow and Tuesday. I'm as dark as I was for Degenerates.
I mean, I don't know. It's good. They're definitely going to get a different host. Oh, Marina Franklin won't be the only black person on this show.
Oh, stop it. Yeah, Marina Franklin's going to be on my show. Mateo Lane and you.
I know. I'm excited. I'm nervous, though. I tried on different clothes today because they asked for elevated. What was it? Elevated?
Can I just set the table a little bit? I'm doing a show for a cable network that I can't announce yet because it hasn't been announced. So I'm taping the first episode kind of this show on some of it's going to be tomorrow, and then the big show is going to be Tuesday, and I'm looking forward to it. It's been like a speedy just creation of a show, and so we're just like making a show on Tuesday. It's going to be so fun. Andrew's on it, and Mateo and Marina and Bonnie McFarlane is my head writer. Ari Finling is another writer. JP McDade is another writer. It's a great fucking team, and it's been so fun. And yeah, we're making a show on Tuesday. How do you feel?
I've never done. You've done multiple shows. You've been on probably how many episodes of TV shows in your life? Probably over 1,000 at this point?
No. 100.
Okay, maybe 200. I've never done it. But I never did radio before I did your show. And now when the cameras are there, I don't even.
But off air, you're on that now? You're on camera?
Yeah, I don't even think about it. So I think once I do one TV show or two, I'm good. It's just the unknown. It's a little weird. Also, like, you have to get your joke in within 5 seconds. It's just like, and then they tell you not to be blue, so then I'm like worried that I'll say, you know, my inner asshole burns from too much Rectacare cream. Something
like that. I won't care about that at all, and they'll cut it, but at least we'll have fun. Okay. So, like, I just want to be comfortable and say the funniest shit possible. I mean, I was kind of, you know, thinking about it earlier today where I'm like, you know, a joke got cut that I liked and I don't think was over the top, but they're just like, come on, that's not funny for how like offensive it is. And so I backed down from it, but I also just I just kind of made peace with it. Like, I'm making a TV show that these people are giving me money to make a TV show. I don't get my way every time. I don't have, you know, I have to trust them that they know what they want. And still, it's a challenge sometimes to be fun to beat a line that's really offensive, but you can do it. So mm-hmm. You just like look for another way, and I just like have made peace with like just letting go of so much control and wanting it to be perfect and wanting, oh my god, people are gonna think this of me if I do this. And it's just like, who cares? Let's just have fun and like make this easy and not take this so seriously and not feel like it's us against the man or whatever the fuck we're trying to do with comedy. Like, let's just have fun and like appreciate that a network is paying us money and like investing in my brand of comedy and letting me do this. It's going to be so much freaking fun. And there's so many, the people we work with are so fun. I love making it. And who knows what we're going to make on Tuesday, but it's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I feel ready because I have been doing broadcasting every day for 2 hours for 2 years now. So like hosting a TV show, which I've done before, but not since I've had all this radio training. It's just like, oh yeah, I know how to do this.
Yeah, and it's funny because they're like, you want the elevated, dressy, casual. And I was telling this girl that I hooked up last night with, And she's like, her sorority used to like different formals and like semi-formal. They'd be like, dress like you're going to meet your boyfriend at brunch and his mom doesn't like you. Like, it was like so
specific. Oh, wow. That's good. We should give out that specific of dress notes.
It's like, dress like, you know, your name's Mike, your fourth year out of Harvard Law, but you want to look casual, but not too casual, because you want your girlfriend's mom to want to fuck you.
So what did you decide to wear?
Gap. I actually, you know, I tend to think, like, fittings... Like, why do you over, like, because sometimes I think, like, why is she, like, why does it affect you so much, you know? And then, like, I'll put on, like a cream color that's, like, tight and it doesn't fit me well. And yeah. All I see are man tits and, like, my fat hips. And I feel horrendous.
Yes. So then,
but I know that as a guy, I could go, well, I'll just wear gray and black and a layer. You have no idea. Like, I could just cover it. Like, no one cares to see my physique.
You don't care that you have it. You just care if people can see it. Whereas we care about, like, even, like, I don't want to have to wear black to trick people. I want to be naturally, like, thin. I don't want to trick anyone. And I think that's the difference, maybe.
Yeah. And I mean, no, it, like... Here's the thing. If I'm trying to look good and I look fat and disgusting, yeah. It hurts a lot. Yeah. But if I'm trying to be funny and I could, like, roll with it, yeah, I love looking horrendous. But it's got to be on my terms.
Right. I get that. Like, the ways you embarrass yourself. Yeah, I can be very vulnerable in some ways. In other ways, I'm just like, no way. I'd be very uncomfortable with that. But you just don't care about looking fat.
I do if I'm
trying if you're trying to,
look
to.
Attractive. Like, this is the thing with TV. I'm like, I'm definitely over. Like, last night I tried on like 5 different things. I'm gonna wear this bomber jacket
That's cool. Like a
t-shirt or a sweatshirt.
Perfect.
And but I don't know. Like, part of me wants to look really fuckable because I'm gonna be on national television, and then the other part of me wants to stay true to myself and be as unfuckable as possible, but still fuck somehow.
Just wear, I think, what you feel your best and most confident self in.
All right, so.
So dig deep and think about what's going to make you feel the most comfortable. And I'm just projecting here, obviously, because that's what I do. But, like, I try to think of, like, what makes me feel the most comfortable. And I feel comfortable when I'm, like, feel hot. I really do. I feel, like, confident and, like, my best self. It takes a lot of effort to look that way. And there's got to be an easier way. Which I'm going to eventually find. Like, the other night, Sarah Lena and I were driving, like, sharing a cab back to my place. And she was like, girl, what do you see yourself like in 10 years? She was like, what do you want for yourself? And, like, I had to think about it, and I was like, I just want to, like, have an easy beauty regimen where it's just, like, I don't, like, my hair's a certain length that it doesn't need anything. I just have a simple, like, makeup thing. I don't go overboard. I can just eat, like, I know what looks good. I can wear, like, one thing over and over and just, like, settle into, like, not giving a shit. That's, like, all I wanted in 10 years.
Well, because, like, when you do, like, morning TV... You'll see a woman who's probably, or a guy, but a woman who has tried to look, keep her youth for the last 20 years because that's what the industry wants. And you can see it on her face that it's just like, I can't believe I have to fucking wear Spanx and design my body, whatever she has to do. And then once the camera's off, you can almost see the sadness in her face because she's like so fucking sick and tired of like living in a, like, the man's world of, like, telling her what she has to fucking wear and how she has to be. I don't know.
I never get that vibe from those girls.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm looking for sadness in them.
Think you're, like, making a story for these women. You might be right, but I do think that, like, some of them, I feel like that's just, like, the lights are so bright in a goddamn news studio. It's just the way it is. You just have to paint on your face.
Yeah. You know what? Now that I think about it, I was wrong.
It's not that you're wrong, but I don't know that you're right.
No, but, you know, it's like, where were we when we saw a woman? What was it? It was, I put the same story on the girls that work at the casinos that still have to wear, like, really fuckable clothes.
Oh, yeah, you were like, that's so sad. And I was like, and then you go, no, maybe they probably like it.
Yeah, maybe they do like it. I'm just saying, though, like, they're somewhere in the middle of, like, having to look fuckable and having to not do that much.
Oh, yeah. Like, I told my mom the other day, because I was like, Mom, you look so cool. I was like, because I was like, can I post this picture of you? And she was like, Oh, God. And I go, I think you look so cool. She was like, really? And I was like, yeah, you look like Frances McDormand cool. And I think Frances McDormand's the coolest chick ever. And, yeah, I always try to, like, channel Frances McDormand when I'm like, would Frances McDormand give a fuck about this thing that you're caring so much about? Because, like, she just seems very, like, chill with herself. And everyone respects her still.
Yeah, I mean, she leaned into not giving a fuck, yeah, and not minding that she might look a little bit more masculine than a typical.
She's not fuckable anymore. Like, it, I mean, to certain people she is, but, like, in terms of, like, straight, you know what I'm saying? But she's still, men respect her. See, that's what I like about being fuckable, is that men, like, have this weird kind of, like, they let you get away, they like you more, they let you get away with more, and then when you're unfuckable to them, you're like, oh, how do I get in with these idiots? But if you're intimidating as fuck, just being a badass bitch, that also is very powerful, and I feel like she has that.
Well, yeah, nothing's hotter than it's not getting in, it's not caring to get in, and then you're just doing it for you, whatever that is, and then there's gonna be maybe, you know, 20% drop off of guys that would want to fuck you just based on your looks, but then the guys that really want to fuck you really want to fuck you, because they feel that power of you not giving a fuck, and it's hot, it's sexy.
Oh yeah, so you like, you weed out people quicker, and yeah. But does Frances McDormand fuck? Who is she married? I wish we had like a researcher that could look that up right now.
Was she ever hot?
What?
Was she ever? Did she ever dress sexy or hot?
No, I don't know. But I think she's definitely been like kind of sexy before.
Let's see. I'm looking up young pictures of Frances McDormand. Upskirt.
Frances McDormand. He's looking up McDormand Mulrooney. No, it's McDormand.
Oh, how do you spell
it? It'll know. I bet you're not the first person to spell her name that way.
Should I not do upskirt?
Just cut into the chase.
All right, here.
That'll confirm if she was once sexy, if there are upskirts of her.
Okay.
Oh, she's cute. Yeah, she was cute.
She was cute. I mean, I think she just got older and stopped wearing as much makeup. Yeah, she was beautiful.
I mean, she's so fucking gorgeous.
Gorgeous. No makeup here. I mean, yeah, she's
so fucking bad. Doesn't that look like, that does look like my mom.
Yeah, she plays characters that are supposed to be, like, grindy and, like, so they just found a woman that's actually very beautiful, and then they're like, what if we just, you know, had her not shower?
She was amazing in Fargo.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
This woman's gorgeous.
Why are you wheezing?
Because she's just a gorgeous woman, and we're like,
She's so different. And she's just like, she's just getting older. I mean, that's the fucking thing. But yeah, so taping a show tomorrow and the next day, I am all sorts of tan.
You know what I think we should do that will make everyone have fun? If we all just did it in our boxers or like in our underwear, like underneath the desk, we were all just naked. Like, not naked, but
the show was always just half naked.
Or pajama pants on bottom half. Oh, no, because we might jump up on the table. Who knows what will happen?
It just makes everyone feel very vulnerable.
I don't know. I just think it's like, it's not a big deal. We're just here. You know, Ian, who's our showrunner, Gilfan.
Okay, so he's your boss, and you should definitely know his last name. I hope he's listening to this, and I hope he gives you shit for it the rest of your life.
First of all, he's called me Adam 15 times in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's your boss. He can do that. You should know your boss's last name.
All right. Ian Dorman.
Dormant. I thought you were calling him a doorman. I'm like, oh boy.
Ian the doorman. Okay. Anyways, I was like,
it's Gelfand, by the way.
Whatever. I think Ian is short for Brian anyways. So he ended up, he goes to me, he goes, it's just TV. It's just TV.
Yes, it is just TV. He is right about that.
This is funny because whenever you hear about, if you're an outsider, TV, that's how you think it's just TV. Doesn't feel like, people think TV, they think bright lights and fame and all this shit. So when you go, it's just TV, it's like a completely different way to look at it than you're grown up looking at it. So yes. It's like,
yeah, it's hard to like understand what he even means by that.
But it is.
It's just, like, and at this point, TV is.
It's like you saying it's just stand up, and now I can finally feel like I can kind of say that. Whenever someone's like stand up, how do you? It's like it's just stand up. It's not.
Yeah.
Stop putting it on a pedestal.
Everything. Yeah. It's. I mean, it's a big deal, and it takes a lot to get to a place where you get to be asked to be on it, but, it doesn't. It's not gonna make or break you. And I mean, I look back on things that were on TV that I've done that I'm like so embarrassed by, or like was like, what did it? And it's like, I'm still here. It doesn't matter. Like, you can do. It's not forever.
Yeah. No.
I mean, it is forever. That is a fact. It'll come back to bite you. But
I mean, there's things on YouTube through off whatever. I've literally talked about my asshole having a tail. So it's like, and 100,000 people saw that. So,
oh my God.
That's, I just have a breakdown. Wait, everyone knows I have a tail?
Oh dear God. I would not, yeah, that's very, what do you feel about that? Like when you say that?
It's funny because it's like, if I'm around people like you or like my creatives, my comics, my friends, I don't give a fuck that people know that I have a tail. When I start worrying about people that I have a tail is when I'm in like an office space where there's cubicles and everyone's like, oh, you know, we gotta have this for the show. And it's like, yeah, but I have a tail, you know, like, can we relax here? Because I'm walking around with a tail.
I don't understand what you're saying in this moment. So people needing things in an office space trigger you?
Yes, because I think I've worked in like real office spaces before,
yeah.
Where everyone's fake. Everyone's fake. No one's talking about their tails.
Right. And you're talking about yours in an office space.
I would like to.
You have every right to. And I'm sure you will on this show again. I'll get you to talk about it on TV.
I mean, it'd be great if that was the first question and you switched it up on me. I mean, it would actually.
Just.
Yeah. It'd be like, do you like tail in your pants?
Andrew Cullen is here. He used to be my dog walker, and now he has a tail.
When I was a boy, I just started telling a story. Oh, no. Oh, you mean my ass tail?
Yeah, maybe I'll spring something on you to throw you off. But, like, the thing is, this isn't live either. Like, live radio is much more, like, scary, I think, or like, oh my God, what's gonna happen? Because you can't take it back. And this, you can screw up. We can retake. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, I don't know any of this. You know what I mean? Like now, I do.
Now you didn't know it was live? What do you mean?
No, I knew that it wasn't live, but I was like,
yeah, like if you fuck up a line, I'll just be like, Andrew, just will you say that again? But like this way. I mean, I won't do it like unless we really need it. But it's loose. Like we'll just have a fucking good time.
Yeah. All right, I'm good.
And there's like 17 people in the audience. It's in a really small studio. We're taping it at Embassy Row, which is where Watch What Happens Live was first taped, in this like tiny studio. So it's pretty cool. You've seen the set. I haven't seen the set yet. I'm too nervous to look.
I mean, when I saw it, it's just a desk. And there's some background. I mean, it's a very small room. I mean, it's literally smaller than probably your hotel room here.
I doubt that. I am staying in like the tiniest. Like I feel like I'm in a Carnival cruise type situation.
I just don't know how many executives and stuff, like people from E, are gonna be in there like watching
a lot.
Like with that annoying fucking judge face.
Oh, well, don't. No, they want it. The thing is, they won't be judge face because they want it to be great. They're dying for it to be great. Like, they don't want to find problems. They truly want this. And that's what I have to realize is that it's not us against them. It's not us against the fucking focus groups. It's like, we all want this to be great. So you have to always remember that when people don't want to do things, it's because they want the show to succeed. So if they're there, I'm going to be like, oh, I'm excited for them to see this thing that they paid for.
Who did I? Oh, I was literally I was watching Halsey on Hot Ones or whatever. The
he used to meet me on the east side.
Stop, I'll come out my tail. So both tails, double tail, ducktails. Halsey was talking about how, like,
that was a really good opportunity for me to go, woo.
Is that Halsey again?
No, that's ducktails. Oh my God, there is a great clip of Elizabeth Warren with Colbert, and he's trying to play, like, Password with her, you know, where he's trying to, he's like, guess the billionaire, and he's describing a billionaire, and he's like, and it was Scrooge McDuck, and he's trying to get her to guess it. He's like diving into coins, and she sees that, then she's like, oh, Scrooge McDuck. She's so sweet. She's like, I should have known doing the backstroke in the coins. It's like, so, she's so cute. But as you were saying.
Oh, so, I mean, essentially,
Halsey,
they were talking about how, like your career, if you're found through Instagram or social media, that you could be essentially crowdfunded or crowdsourced by people, by, like, actual people. You don't need, they don't need Warner or whatever. What are some music, different music, whatever, execs or companies to promote their music. It's just going to be people. But then if those people are, like, lifting you up, are you going to be kept in a box by those people and have to do what those people want
you to do? Yeah, because they're paying for it.
Yeah, so these people are paying for it. So the story of, like, Damn the Man has been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of makes it sexier, and people rally behind you because it's like you've us versus them. And that's why people like that story. So if you're saying, oh, no, it's not us versus them, everyone's in it as a collective, but comedy is kind of like us versus them, where it's like, you might see it this way, but the truth is that it's this way.
Well, and it should. If you want to play nice and still get your way, you have to outsmart them in a way of, like, you have to get your comedy across, you have to do it in ways that will be trickier but will challenge you. Like, Everyone who's, the Simpsons are challenged, you know. South Park at this point, I don't think really is. They get to do what they want, but, like, you got to play by the rules a little bit, and it makes you think outside the box. And, like, if Conan could do it and keep it clean or whatever, when he did Late Night, and even now, like, there's still, like, things you have to abide by. There's, like, actual rules. You'll get fined for shit. So I'm just excited we get to say shit, I think. That's a win.
Well, the first line in your monologue is that, so.
Listen, I'm starting out with a bang. It's like, yeah, it's fun you get to say shit on TV. No one uses it.
But I hated the thing, like, where, like, can we talk about some of it? The Trintellix thing, like.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can't swallow pills. It's like, first of all, everyone's on antidepressants, and why are we. You're worried.
But I just switched the joke, so it's whatever. Maybe now it's going to be better because I just say it, antidepressants instead of a specific one, you know?
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah, it might hit harder.
I tried to find a balance, and in the, we get to, like, kind of take that, we'll get to brainstorm in the room with it. So I just, like, was like, yeah, I just pitched an easier joke or a more palatable joke, which I think will still hit.
Well, it's also funny because we're going to be recording 4 episodes a week coming up in next month. It's just, this is the first one, so there's been so much build up because it's for 3 weeks, and it's not just writing the show. We haven't written jokes. We're just figuring out the segments. It's I thought we were gonna come in and just, like, here's a joke, but it's, like, literal, like, games and, like.
Yeah, you have to build a show. Yeah. Did you not think that?
Here we are.
Are you serious? You didn't think that?
I mean, I thought there would be more structure already.
That's hilarious. No. It's like you have to build the show, and there's so much more to building a show than meets the eye. Like, I understand your naivete in going into it because you don't realize, like, okay, well, That's a great idea for a segment. Now go write it. Plus, write an intro for it. Write an outro for it. Write possible all outros and intros. How do we get into it? How does that transition into the next bit? Write a transition for that. Like,
and then how are you Dave Chappelle moving to Africa? Because you're so tired of people telling you what the fuck you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, is that for you?
Yeah, I'm going to move to Africa.
Are you overwhelmed?
You could move there right now.
Jesus Christ. Did you see my manicure too? You need to calm down.
Oh, is it?
It's Taylor like Swift.
It looks like a birthday cake.
Yeah, I know. I got pastels because the episode that we're filming on Tuesday is my love. It's about my love of Taylor Swift. And so I got Taylor Swift nails. And I'm going to wear a Taylor Swift shirt. And I really want to get my hair cut like Taylor Swift, but I don't have time.
You can wear a wig, maybe.
You need to calm down. But I'm really, I went, like, these nails are humiliating. I got my spray tan by that woman that, you know, had a heavy, heavy pour. Heavy hand is what they call it. I mean,
you should have wondered, when she brought out shoe polish, I would have been like, this is weird.
Dude, I said last night I was, like, mad that my mom, look at my leg. I am actually getting darker as we talk.
Your face is darker.
Really? Fuck, I gotta get like a wet wipe.
You're wearing a black hat and your face makes your hat look like beige.
Okay, that is not nice. That's unkind and I don't know how to fix it and this is gonna be bad. This could be real bad. You've already made a couple jokes on here that I'm like, God, fucking Noah has to take them out because I don't want to be fucking canceled.
Yeah, well, you should have thought about that before you went shoe polish head.
Stop. I'm keeping that one in for sure. What shirt is this? I really do need to like wipe off my face right now. Is it that bad? Will you tell me the truth?
I'm just fucking around. You just look very tan.
Okay,
and it's
good.
Dark lighting, but you were no tanner during Degenerates or whatever.
Yeah, Degenerates, I was dark.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. I'm just fucking around.
Whatever.
Why can't...
They say you can't wear white.
Because on camera, it just kind of, like, looks too bright. It's too overwhelming. It throws off the lighting.
Okay. All right.
And any, like, shiny... all your shiny clothes you can't wear. Your metallics.
Yeah, I do.
Your... any very tight stripes you can't wear.
Yeah, but some... Dude, you see, people are wearing some crazy colors out there right now. A lot of celebrities. Like, louder the better.
Neon stuff, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine, but you just can't wear like a lot of patterns on TV. That's a TV rule. You'll see.
It would be incredible if I just wore like an outfit like Billie Eilish from the first episode, and you're like, no, you're not allowed to do this. It would be kind of
fun. Yeah, I mean, you. I hope to make fun of you right out of the gate to like make everyone feel comfortable.
Yeah, you know what's happening though is everyone in the office is trying.
No, everyone's mean to you.
Like, I guess I don't know what's happened. They go, well, Nikki's mean to you. But Ari, me and Ari had a talk and after Ari's the other writer. And he's like, yeah, I was like, you know, I'm the last person to feel bad for you. But these people are, like, coming at you. And I'm like, yeah, they're not even fun. They're just mean. Like, I came in from the office. They go, oh, look, it's Harvey Weinstein. And I go, what? They go, we all think you look like Harvey Weinstein. I go, young Harvey or old Harvey? They're like, no, Kane Harvey.
Oh, my God. That's so mean. Who said that?
Me, to the mirror. No, it was, who said it? Eden?
Eden? Celeste? Guys, that's...
I mean, it's harsh out there. It's not easy.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I'm sorry.
I kind of see it.
Listen, it shouldn't, they shouldn't tell you that. They think you can take it. That's the thing. Because you take it from me, even though I wouldn't maybe say that.
It's weird because I am, look, I could take it if it's funny.
And right.
And I could take it if I feel like I could give it back to you and you can take it.
Right. But like you can't, you don't feel comfortable giving it back to, yeah, your bosses.
Well, it's a one-sided thing here.
Yeah.
If you want me to roast you, keep it up, Celeste and Eden, because you're going down. And you too, Ian Guilford.
Can we air any of this?
I don't care. What are they going to fire me and then I just go on the road with you? Boo-hoo.
I guess.
I need the money. I seriously need the money.
I really like those two, by the way.
Yeah, they're the best. I want to... Yeah, but I'm just saying, get ready, because I'm going to start fucking...
I want you... That's the rule. Eden, Celeste, he's about to bring it. Because if you're dishing it out, you got to take it.
And don't think you're safe either.
And listen, I know, I'm not safe either. No,
Julia Cassidy, I'm coming for you.
I fucking love them. I really want you to go after them now. You have every right. Huh? I give you permission as the host of the show to go back at those bitches.
They're going down.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
It's going to be bad. It's going to get ugly. I'm telling you.
Eden,
I can take it too. Let's see.
I mean, I did call you old, what did I say? What about your throat yesterday?
Oh, yeah, you said rough throat.
Yeah, old rough throat over here. Sounds like you've been sucking 10, 15 dicks. It's terrible. Ugh.
I mean, it does fuck your throat up when you suck dick. It's definitely abrased my throat before. Do you guys know that?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like any girl that sucks my little cock is fine. If anything, she'll probably could give out some speech therapy with my little cock. Just tickle the ivories back there.
It'll help her vocal cords tap your tiny dick.
You know what I do? I put my little tiny dick in your mouth hard, and then I have you freaking read Macbeth. Be better in no time.
That's so fucking funny. How was your date last night? Can you talk about it?
Yeah, I can talk about it. You know what's funny is that when you have morning sex and both your breaths are bad and you both know it, and it's like this unspoken agreement contract
of like, let's not kiss.
Yeah, it's so funny because you're just avoiding, you're fucking, you're face to face, and you're just kissing necks, you're sucking tits, you're doing everything but
the mouth to mouth. Yeah. But that's when I'm just like, I get up to like go brush my teeth like right away so that I can have that, I think. I mean, that's when I'm in a relationship though. I don't know what I do. I don't even remember what I do I don't even know what I do in a morning rando hookup.
You know what it is though? I think maybe because she's playing an away game. If I had a toothbrush for her, I guess she could use her finger. But, like, I feel like if I go, oh, wait, I got to go brush, then she's going to feel more insecure.
Yeah, but I just go, do you want to brush our teeth?
Okay, next time.
That's good. Like, and offer her a toothbrush. That would be good. A little, then you have a field trip, and you brush your teeth, and it's kind of intimate and nice, and then you go back and then.
That's smart. And then I go, hey, can you throw a little mint fresh on the old puss?
Yeah. You want a wipe? I have vaginal wipes. Under the sink. I don't have a cup, but I do offer... I don't have any silverware or cups.
Just start... Oh, by the way, I brought her a bowl as a joke, but this is a different girl.
Oh, wait. Oh, but you guys talked about that. By the way, you joked about it.
This is what I want to talk about on the TV show. I don't want to do the orgasm thing. I want to do the bowl. I think it'll be fun.
Yes, yeah, so funny.
Yeah, and so I bring her a bowl, but the fan brought us cups. Who I blocked on Instagram.
Yeah.
Who I will unblock eventually. But I brought in a bowl, and I was like, oh my God, I have the cups. And I poured the bowl of water into the cups, and we shared two. They're metallic. They're nice cups.
Oh, nice. That's such a nice gift.
Yeah. And so we didn't wash the cups. We just drank straight from it, which was pretty badass. But, yeah, no, it was fun. We had a good time. She's fun. She's like, she's 26, a little Jewish girl, like real little.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks like really young, like weird young.
Yeah.
And she's fun. She's easy going. She's from Florida.
Yeah. Did you have sex last night and this morning?
Yes.
Did she drink?
No. I don't know. Actually, before she got there, maybe.
Oh. Well, I just always remember like having to have sober sex in the morning. Like I'd be drunk the night before, so it was like easier for me to have sex. And then in the morning, I would just like feel obligated to have sex because they wanted to. And I'd be like... And you would just do it. I used to have a bit about this, but you would just do it because you were like, you didn't want to admit you had a drinking problem because you're like, oh, I'm like probably have a drinking problem if I only can fuck this person when I'm drunk. So you fuck them in the morning, and then you're just like, ugh. And then you're like, I would hate morning sex sometimes because of that. But then I was with someone for my boyfriend for years, my only like long-term boyfriend, did not like morning sex. So like, I didn't have it forever.
Who didn't? Your boy?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. He just wasn't horny in the mornings.
Was it a breath thing? Like, did you brush your teeth?
No, it wasn't that. He just, like, even when we would be, like, he just never wanted it in the morning.
Maybe too much lighting. I don't know.
Probably. We fucked a lot in the light, though, like, early on.
Maybe he didn't feel clean. I don't know. That's a weird thing.
The time of day, he just wouldn't. Like, if we were on I don't know. Like, when he had to get up and we had to go to work and stuff. Like, no. And I guess on, like, I'm trying to think if it was, like, yeah, we just always fuck at night.
It is funny, like, because I watch so much porn, and I need to stop. I really do think so, because, like I've told you this before, like, when I see tits on a porn, I'm like, tits! And then when I see tits in person, I'm just like, oh, there's some tits. Like, I can't take it in, because my brain is so used to taking things in through the computer. Mm-hmm. But, like, this morning, we were having morning sex, and I was really trying to take in the tits. But at one point, I felt like, kind of a creep, even though I'm fucking her, I feel creepy staring at her tits so far. It was weird.
That's so funny. She's like, my eyes are up here. As she's writing you. Yeah, you still feel like a perv.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, that's so funny. If someone fucking you and be like, excuse me,
I'm sorry.
Can you treat me like stop trying to
don't sexualize me right now. Even though you're inside me.
You have a condom on? You're not touching me.
Not technically. Oh, yeah, so you're having condom sex now, and that's working for you better because you're a dry guy and you like it drier. You need more friction, which condoms, like, make it a little bit less slick.
Yeah. I can stay dry. You get as wet as you want. That's what. That's the bumper sticker.
Do you get ones that are unlubricated?
Oh, I get them extra dry in there. I put some.
No, dirt. I'm serious though.
Yeah, no, there's some ones that aren't loop. Not.
Yeah, lubricated. Do you get those?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best for you, right?
Yeah, I want it to feel like knives.
Has it changed the game for you though? Like, you when you first stumbled upon condom use, you were like, "Wow, this is pretty incredible."
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's just a combination of a lot of things, but I do think, I don't know. I think I was just getting it too wet. For a while, and and I just, I don't know. Yeah, condoms, there's more friction. It's like tougher down there. It's like
well, I'm glad you started using condoms and that,
like,
it's working for you.
It's like if you had a truck, right, and you had four by four, like a four-wheel drive, and you wanted to get out there and rough it up, you know what I mean?
So yeah.
Drive in the wilderness.
And extra rubber on those tires.
Yeah. Throw on some more rub, more grindage, more, yeah, and really work it out. Because you got, you know? And so, yeah, so I've been wearing condoms. She was on top. And boy, she was riding like it was crazy. I've never had a girl ride me like that. It was like I was a mechanical bull or something. I wasn't even there.
And you went out with this girl before and she didn't sleep with you, right?
No. Oh, we hung out. We met before. But no.
Oh, this is a different girl. Oh, I thought this was the one you went out with before you left town.
Oh, no, different girl.
Get it.
Yeah, so anyways, but yeah, so I'm excited about the first show.
My tail.
Yeah, we, how good was the video that I sent you that guy made in St. Louis? So in St. Louis, I had a guy come out and do like a follow me around with a camera from when we landed at the airport. He was waiting there. My mom was there with my dog. And then he followed me all day. We went to the gym. We walked around the loop in St. Louis in the University City area. And then we went to the show and he filmed us backstage. And he put together this like sizzle reel of like the dance that we do at the end of the show, and it was such a great thing because it involved my sister and my friends, and it was just like such a cool thing that all came to be at the second show. We all danced on stage and it was like so magical. I talked about it last week, but he made this video of it, and he made it like in 2 days. It took me a week and a half to watch because I was just so busy and I didn't have time to like devote to it. So I got this like a week ago, and I told him I wouldn't have time to watch till the weekend. And I finally watched it tonight, and isn't it so good?
It's unbelievable. But can I give any Outside notes or no?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, is there going to be another video or is this the one video for him?
No. We have so much footage. Oh, yeah.
Okay, then never mind. Then it's perfect.
Yeah, that's just like something that I asked him to put together of like, I actually didn't give him any notes. And that's what I love is because he just made this thing that like, I didn't have to like oversee. Yeah. I could just trust him. I mean, he spelled my name wrong, but that is the only thing that needed fixing. I had no notes, really.
Three Ks?
Yeah, he spelled it with three Ks accidentally. Do you know I used to have that joke?
Yeah.
Okay. But
you love doing that to me.
That was one joke off my second album. Oh, you haven't listened to it?
No, but that literally, that three Ks joke is a joke. Okay.
I think another video, like my only concern was that I think audience reaction he could have had in there of like the actual audience.
Yes.
And I think, I didn't know if that was the only video. And then the only other thing is,
we don't need to give notes now on the podcast, but I'll talk to you about it later. I just thought it was really cool, and I want to like have him. I called him on the spot as soon as I saw it. I watched it with Anya today when we were getting our nails done. When I chose these disgusting pastels that make me look like I'm 5, and Easter is tomorrow. But oh my god, I did get the best massage ever.
We were supposed to get massage.
I know. Later tonight, I might still go. I want to get some. I wasn't going to go because I didn't want to ruin the spray tan, but I kind of now want to ruin it. I might get a full body just to take it all off. That's a good idea.
Yeah, but then the guy's going to be walking around with black hands.
Yeah, that's true. He will have really dark hands. That would be so funny, but like so mean.
Yeah, all reverse.
Talk about wearing protection. I'd bring him latex gloves because he'd need them for this. I mean, this would be.
Yeah, he'd probably. Wait, what were you saying? Oh, yeah, you want him to do other cities because he's great and he was easy to work with.
Yeah, I called him on the spot and I was like, Jordan, come on the road with me. What will it take? I go, do you have a day job? Like, what's it going to be? Because I want to put together some kind of like reality show or something. And because this past weekend when we were on the road, how good would that have been of an episode? What we encountered, we can't really talk about it, but on Friday night, it was like in Calusa, which was an amazing show. Thank you so much for anyone who came out to that show. But it was like, that was a wild day for many reasons that I can't talk about, but I hope to at some point. But like, wouldn't that have been an amazing?
Yeah, dude. I really think we should just, it sounds cheesy, but I think we should vlog our trips and put it on the YouTube, either you up or your own.
Yeah, I agree too. So that's why I asked him to come out.
Just 6-minute videos. Vlog and then say the city and then boom.
Yeah.
It's so simple and these fuckers get like millions of views and they're not that entertaining. They're not funny.
Yeah.
They're just like, here's a day in the life of me driving a Porsche. And it's like 5 minutes of driving a Porsche.
And you watch them. You watch them.
So
if we did them and they're actually funny, people might. Yeah, I get it.
I know it's another thing, but that's
why I asked him. I go, because I have a crazy week in LA coming up. Listen to this fucking schedule, you guys. Let's talk about next week for me. Well, this week is tomorrow. I shoot 2 sketches for the show. I also do 2 run-throughs of it. Then Tuesday I do radio from 10 to 12. Then I go to set at 12:30. Then we tape the TV show that day. Then I have, this isn't to mention that I have sets at the Comedy Cellar each of these nights too. Then Wednesday I'm off. I just have a bunch of shit. You know, I have radio and a bunch of shit, but no show stuff. Then Friday we go to Dallas. Saturday we're in Houston, 2 shows each. Sunday I fly to LA. I gotta get a spray tan. I gotta get my nails done. Gotta get my hair done, dyed, cut. Then I go Monday doing Anna Faris's podcast. Tuesday I'm doing Conan. Wednesday I'm doing the Kelly Clarkson show. Thursday I'm doing Lights Out with David Spade. Friday I'm doing radio every morning from 7 to 9 that week too. So 4 days in a row of each of those things. Then Friday I'm doing Seattle, 2 shows. Saturday Portland, 2 shows. Sunday fly back, do a ABC show, game show, possibly, but definitely happening. Monday I shoot promos for this show that we're both working on. And then Tuesday and Monday I do radio too. And then Tuesday I fly back and I get to be in my new apartment, which I'm currently not in because I'm between places. Hopefully by then my apartment will be furnished and I'll have a place to live.
That just
and that's what I want to document. I want to. I go, you know what? The schedule is so insane, and I don't know why I've done this to myself. I might as well get something out of it, which is like a documentation of like the hardest I've ever will ever work in my life, and the hardest I ever want to work again. At least it won't be in vain that I'm working this hard.
Well, it's also like it reminds me of what's the fucking what's her name that died? Old woman who just showed how hard she works even when she was like 9 years.
Joan
old.
Rivers.
Yeah. When Joan Rivers was like, remember she did that documentary?
Yeah.
And it showed how hard she worked, yeah, even though she was like 85.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to get her in her prime seeing that and like, and seeing what, how much shit you do. Also, it'll be just good to have, he seems like a chill guy. And it's like a someone to hang out with.
The guy that did this, his name's Jordan, and he's out of St. Louis, and no one truly give him any work because I only want to work with him exclusively. I want a monopoly on him. But he just blended in. He wasn't I forgot he was there.
If he wanted a real job too, he could fucking film the, like, the writer's room and, like, shit like that here in New York too.
Yeah, it'd
like,
be fun. I want to just duck. The thing is, I just want to do a reality show because I just want to be, I just want to live my life, which is crazy enough. And then I make a show while I live it. I've been saying all along.
You don't need.
And I have nothing to hide at this point.
You don't. That's the thing with YouTube. Like, if you were getting 500,000 views or whatever, you'd make enough money off YouTube, which would just drive your podcast, which would just drive.
We'll talk about business stuff off air. The listeners don't need to hear all of this, but I guess it isn't. I mean, I don't know what's interesting. I just
find it interesting. I think because anyone can do it. There's nothing holding you back from doing these.
Yeah,
things.
Whatever you're interested in and talking about and putting out there. Yeah, we might get to meet on my show. Do you know if Ava is doing my show?
I thought she is.
I still don't even know. But I am maybe going to meet one of my favorite, like, comedic voices on Instagram, who is, if you follow her, Katie Ryan. I think it's Katie Ryan 34 or something. Just look up Katie Ryan. Ava Ryan is her daughter, and she's so freaking funny. And she might be on my show, and I might be getting to meet her this week. And God, she's so fucking funny. This little girl, like, truly is, like, no, she's brilliant. Yeah. I've, like, studied her.
Yeah.
Her name's Ava Ryan. I just watch her videos all the time. She does the slyest thing. She's so fucking smart. Like, if I could have her as a child, I would, and guaranteed a child that fucking smart, I would put up with any other thing that is inconvenient about having kids if I was guaranteed that cool of a kid. And I think, like, Bonnie has that cool of a kid, too. Like, a funny daughter.
Yeah, Bonnie's kid's incredible. Bonnie's the head writer on this show, Bonnie McFarlane. If you don't know her, go watch her Fallon. It's like,
go watch her HBO comedy special from like 2005, I think. It's fucking so good. She's so dark. She's so funny. Her Fallon.
Her Fallon is the tightest late night set I've ever seen.
She's brilliant, and I've like loved her for so long, and I can't believe she's my head writer. I'm like, she's just like she was like such a hero for so long and still is. She's so funny.
Yeah, I love working with her. I'm going to learn so much from these people and just get better. I think my joke writing already does feel better. Like, I've written a couple new bits since writing it for the last 3 weeks, and it's just, oh, these are like, it's way easier to write when you're writing every day and you're like around smarter people that are like, I don't know. It's just good. It's all around great.
That's great. Did you see Mulaney's monologue last night? It was good.
It was? Oh, yeah. Wait.
On SNL.
I read it because I didn't have headphones where I was.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. I love, like, I've been watching some, like, it. I like being elevated by the people around me. Like you were just saying, like, where you're like, okay, I have to, like, challenge myself to, like, bump it, like, get better. Or, like, just feel like you're a little bit threatened.
Yes. But I also feel like, though, like, how they're funny is how they're funny.
Yes, yes.
And I just always have to tell myself that because how, like JP is an incredible joke writer who's succinct, but, he, you know, there's other things that I can do or, like, what I think is funny, he might not find funny because it might be a little, like, too dry or too silly.
But that doesn't mean it's not funny.
Yeah. So that's all, you know.
Right, yeah. You have to, like, I had struggled with that so much, too, because you watch, like, who everyone loves, and you're like, I'm nothing like them. And it's like, well, then there's also someone that you are like that people love a lot. Like, you can love Stephen Wright, you can love Mitch Hedberg, you can love Chris Farley, you can love, I don't know, like,
But all these people were themselves. They were all individually themselves, and whatever that is. And they, like, leaned into whatever they were great at.
Mm-hmm.
The question is what are you great at? And can you acknowledge it? And then can you lean into it? And can you sustain it, even though it might not get positive reaction from everybody? And how do you turn that off?
Right. That means, like, when you are, like, posing with an ice bucket in front of your crotch, that those are the questions you ask yourself before, when that timer is ticking off, when you set it across the room and you scamper across and you put the ice bucket in front of your penis and you pose, you ask yourself those questions.
Even 10 minutes after you post it for everyone to see and you realize maybe your balls and asshole are showing a little bit.
Yeah, they were peeking out. There was some shapes that were emerging, some blurry shapes that NASA cannot confirm nor deny are balls. We're having the footage scrubbed through, but
yeah,
I mean, your balls might have been showing.
Give or take.
Give
or take one or two. There might have been some balls. But you know what? It's liberating to show your nuts to 30,000 people. Well, 27,600. But man, is it liberating, boy. Just show your nuts, man.
Just put it out there. Yeah, girls are dropping nips here and there.
Go to Lizzo's page. That's all you gotta do. Look what Lizzo posts. And you should feel fine showing your balls, your clam, your toes, your spray tan, your fingernails that are painted different colors looking like Easter eggs. You can do whatever the fuck you want
because yeah,
you
really
did it.
Yeah, my stylist actually, because I did a super zoom on my Instagram story of my nails and just said, this is a mistake. And because I instantly felt that way. Girls, you know when you take like a big swing in the at the nail salon, you're just feeling the color and you're like, I'm going to have fucking aqua nails. Who gives a shit? Like aquamarine nails, that's so in. Like it's close enough to Pantone's color of the year. And you grab it off the shelf and you commit to it. And you're like, I did this when I was 22. Like it's fine now. And then you have like aqua nails for like important meetings or like or just like... You're at Starbucks just looking like you're at the gym. Yeah, you feel so embarrassed. You want to like, I'm just like, oh my God. Like this nail, like right now, it's just like, it makes me feel, that's why I had to tell the tan woman, the tanning lady, I go, I have to tell you, I'm doing a show about Taylor Swift. And so these nails are based on Taylor Swift. Yes, it's truly in my heart and what I wanted to do anyway. And I just found an excuse to make it happen. But.
And she's like, who's Taylor Swift?
Everyone knows who Taylor Swift is, except my Aunt Sally.
Also, I thought of an idea for a brilliant app, I think. Okay, so I walk past the nail salon, and every time I walk past, I think of your joke when you're just looking out, like, despondently, and, like, mm-hmm. just, like, you know, you just hear that sad Sarah McLachlan song when you look at women in the window, and that's not in your joke, but whatever. Something.
Are you trying to punch up my act right now?
I have been in a writer's room now for 2.5 weeks. Ian Guilford.
Really try to get it.
Ian Gilfan.
Gelfan.
Gelfan. Whatever. Elf head. You're not safe, Julia.
You're not safe.
Yeah. So anyway, so it should be a program that you put an app into your phone that will scroll through your Instagram for you.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you look at it, or I don't know if it goes into the Instagram, but it scrolls through things. So you could say to your phone, scroll Instagram. So then when your nails are in, it's scrolling for you. You could set it up in front of mm-hmm. you. And then boom. And then like you scroll through the book for you. I bet you they have that. Where
and
they
you can just go like. And it will just like it for you. So, like, when the girl you aren't paralyzed on your phone, you can just talk to it.
Yeah.
Because I always want Siri to, like, get inside Spotify and, like, mess around. But Siri won't listen to me. She won't go into Spotify. And I need someone to go into Spotify. I need someone to go on my Instagram.
Will Siri turn a book page for you?
I mean, I guess we could find out. I don't want to do it right now because this... my recorder could be compromised. By the way, the sound quality... just know that I tried to use two different... set of microphones that Comedy Central has paid for, but we're not able to be functioning tonight, so we're back to our old little like kid on the street, kid on the beat kids.
I feel like you're like a cool, hot journalist, and you're interviewing me, and I'm like a bassist in the band who not a lot of people know about, but some people.
We're really excited about your new album, though, and you're here to tell us about it.
yeah, you know, it's our fourth album. You know, it's our, we went, this time we went to Aspen, Colorado. We rented a house. We wanted, like, real acoustics. So what we did is we took the living room couch and we put it in the kitchen. And we all just sat around there. And I think, you know, as a band, playing together, playing all in the same room, not, like, individual instruments, I think we really, like, found our sound. Like, again. Like, I don't know. It just feels like we're 15 again in the garage.
And again, I'm with Andrew Collin, bassist for, I'm sorry, what was the band?
The bassist for Incubus.
For Incubus, wow.
Yeah.
This is really exciting. We haven't heard from Incubus in quite some time, and it's cool to hear that they took some time off and went up to Aspen and moved around the furniture, which I believe is a Taylor Swift lyric.
You know, we get inspired from a lot of different people, different artists, Taylor Swift, Selena Gomez, Debbie Gibson.
Wow, it's incredible that Incubus is being inspired by these strong female artists now.
We just feel like for so long we did more things like, you know, we would get inspired by, you know, R.E.M. or...
Wait, can I break the bit? What does Incubus sing? They say they had one song that I would know. I think they had one, like, top 40 hit. Can you look it up real quick?
Yeah.
Incubus. I remember all the hot boys liked Incubus. They liked Incubus, and they liked Silverchair, and they liked, Mossimo. Was that a band? I'm kidding. I know it was a brand, but Stussy. Yes. Drive. I'll be there. Yeah.
Do-do-do. With broken arms and broken wings.
Yeah, that was a cool song. What were we talking about right before Incubus?
Werewolves of London.
Oh yeah, Warren Zevon, Werewolves of London. What other hits did he have? Did we ever determine that?
No. We also thought, I thought he looked like the guy from the Bee Gees.
Oh yeah, you thought it was I was like, Warren Zevon is not the lead singer of the Bee Gees. I think that was I think his last name was... Is their last name BG?
I don't know, dude. I just know they sing high in that Timberlake sketch.
Wait, in that... That's the only BG song you know?
I know that they sang... I don't know. I confused the Bee Gees, I think,
Staying Alive. Staying Alive.
Staying Alive.
They have a lot of hits that are not coming to my memory right now, but if I sat down, I could probably name 10 BG songs. No, probably 5.
I can't name any songs. I'm not good at that. I don't pay attention to the names. I could like a band for 20 years. I know 6 names of their songs. But I could
really?
Yeah. I don't pay attention.
I am like a lyric snob, and like I love lyrics and like the names of songs, whatever. But like, I would rather get into I oftentimes do that with books. I will never remember the name of a book or the author. I just don't care.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how I am with books.
But this is the thing. My brother was a lot like you with learning lyrics. Who are you learning the lyrics for?
Just myself, so I can lip sync to them.
But not to impress other people? Because I feel
just to feel like I'm in the music video if I ever want to.
Okay, because my brother could always memorize like crazy. And I actually have a pretty good memorization skills if I actually sat down.
That one Eminem track, you know, is pretty impressive.
You ready? I could do it in 20 seconds.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, begin.
There's 7 different levels of devil worship, and horses is human sacrifices, cannibalism, candles, exorcisms, animals having sex with them, camels, mammals, and rabbits, but I don't get into that. I kick the habit. I just beat you to death with weapons and eat 3 fresh, but I never eat you unless the fucking meat looks fresh. I got a line in my pocket, I'm lying. I got a 9 in my pocket, baby, I'm dying. The cockadoo's ready for war, I'm ready for war. Got my settees and swords for any faggot to say with war. My use is heavy as yours, you met before. I didn't have a large arsenal no weapon for. Marshall stepped through your door, you lay head on the floor with your body spread on the bed, spread right on the wall, right on the floor, men on the second, run on the third, and you're dead on the fourth, you're dead wrong.
Okay, well, I lost count, but that was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I got some of that. I've heard you do it enough times now that I feel like I'm memorizing parts of it.
Can you do any rap songs? Do it as fast as you can, because Eminem came out with that that challenge.
Oh, my God. He's so cool.
Let me hear you do a verse that you know fast as possible.
As fast as I can. But the thing is, you can't do it faster because you try to stay, it's hard to be fast because you know, you learned it at the speed, the tempo, you learned it, and it's already fast. Okay.
Take a rap.
Okay. I think I only know one well enough. So what do you say to somebody you hate or anyone trying to bring trouble your way? What do you want to resolve in things in the bloody way? Sunday tape of NWA. One day I was walking by with a Walkman on when I caught a guy, I gave him an awkward nod, strangled off in the parking lot with a skull connect. I don't give a fuck if it's dark or not hotter than me trying to park a Dodge. I don't give a fuck. Right next to him, he humongous truck in a two-car garage, topping out with two broken legs, trying to walk it off. Fuck you, two bitch. All the cops out to kill you with the blood ass motherfucking parking dogs. When the cops came through, me and Jason next to a burned down house, the gang goes in the animal catches. Still no one found out. So when you're out, it's a fire conic too. Starting a day, tomorrow's a new. But I'm still Luke enough to do with deaths with the Charles. I'm shady out of this doing babies and Mercedes Benz when the demands is up when the temps go up to the mid-80s calling men ladies. Sorry doc, but you've been crazy. No, there's a way that you can save him. It's okay, go with him daily.
That was good, dude.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't
good, but I like learning. Oh, do you ever have you ever heard of Gwatsky?
No, who's that?
Oh my god, he does this really great. No, not Gwat. That's his Instagram handle. It's Watsky. My ex boyfriend, the white rapper I dated, turned me on to that guy, and I was like, this guy is he's oh. awesome.
Yeah, no, it's very impressive. I wonder if it's
I love white rappers. I think.
Well, you got to hear Little Dicky on our friend Andrew.
Oh, Santino. I fucking love Little Dicky.
He's so honest. He's talking about his back knee and why he doesn't want to have sex in the light.
Oh, that's so sad.
Now you're not turned on by him.
No, I'm not. I don't care. I like that. I actually am, like, I think that's sweet.
Dude, he talks about having dick hair, that his dick is made out of the same skin as his scrotum, and that's why he grows hair.
Oh, no. Is that real?
Yes. And it, like, no, but that's the kind of humor I like, and I love that about him, that this guy... You know, I don't know. He's talking about his dick hair is the same as his scrotum hair.
That's what I was drawn to at first when I first heard him was like how, like, oh my God, this guy is really self-deprecating in a way that is refreshing.
Well, he wanted to be a comedian. He, like, rapped to get into comedy, not the other way.
Yeah, I feel like that's why I think I'm drawn to not just white rappers, but, like, rappers in general. Like, I just think they're funny.
You have to watch this rapper who died. About a half a year ago, his name's Juice WRLD, and he freestyles like a real freestyle.
Yeah.
So like Lil Dicky, when he freestyles, like when he was on Sway, and everyone made a big deal. It was actually a written. That's kind of like that's like the big thing. It's like improvised versus not improv, whatever.
Right.
So this guy Juice WRLD, he freestyled for an hour, 1 hour.
Oh, I think I've heard of this. Yeah, and he's the one that died.
Yeah. He died. I mean, a lot of his lyrics. What's sad about rappers is, like, you hear why they're going to die. Like, in their lyrics. Like,
oh,
they,
shit.
They predict it all. Biggie predicted it. Tupac. They all predict, like, how they're going to go. I mean, you almost speak it into existence.
That's what I, that's why I've got to stop talking about dying young on stage. I've been fascinated by it. Like, I talk about it all the time. And it makes people so uncomfortable. But it's like, sorry, I think about it.
What you call Kobe Bryant would talk about dying young.
He would?
Yeah.
God, I'm going to manifest this shit. I better stop talking about it. I'm going to die really old.
Too old.
Like what, 43? Is that still young? That's dying young as a woman.
My God.
Would people still say that?
She lived a full life. She lived too long. How long? She died just before her 42nd birthday. What from?
Old age.
Old age.
The tragedy of old age. No, you could go at any time. Someone was talking to me about, like, being living in New York and, like, being scared about being murdered. I'm like, oh, it's if you're living in New York, you are in constant threat of being hit by a car. That's the number one way I think accidental death happens in New York. Or, like, not, like, you know.
Well, I was talking about this because there was that crazy.
If you're white, maybe.
Well, there was that guy this weekend. Whatever. We can't talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
So but, like. Whatever, like, take him out of it. We were on the subway. There was an absolute crazy person. And we were watching him like he was, like, a TV. Like, it was, or, like he wasn't real. Like, he was like, fuck everybody, fuck Dolly Parton.
Where was this?
On the subway.
When?
This morning. And if you took that guy and you put him in some suburban area where there weren't other crazy people, that guy could possibly get shot. He would get arrested. He would be called, like, there'd be a crowd. Like, it would be insane.
We just tolerate it around here. And we don't help them.
Do we tolerate it or do we find it acceptable because we realize, like, we have empathy for them and, like.
No, I think we have a lack of empathy. We just don't care. They're like screaming for help, and we just ignore it because they're mentally ill. I have to go. I'm so hungry. I want to go to dinner. We got this podcast in. I'm sorry if it was too tired, people talking in a loungy area of a hotel, but I had a lot of fun on this one.
I thought it was great.
Okay, good. I hope you all enjoyed it, and thank you so much for listening to the podcast every week.
Incubus.
Oh, yeah, Incubus. Check out their latest album, recorded from a cabin in Aspen with Couches as the studio.
That's the name of the album,
believe Couches. Check out Couches, Incubus's ninth album.
The lead singer is not on it. I forgot that.
Okay, he's no longer involved with the band. So is it, so you replace him, or is it just an instrumental?
I would say it's just instrumental, but we don't have instruments either. It's just really just me.
Well, it sounds experimental, no matter what it is.
Very experimental. It's you just buy it, please. Just
various pots and pans.
Yeah. It's just a couch.
Okay, so it's just you guys, and you just, it's a recording. Did you use the couch in like musical ways?
No, we never even flew there, to be honest. We asked a friend to just put a mic by his couch for about 59 minutes. We set it up 14 tracks, but it's different. Like I said, we took from
Taylor. I love that you guys are just taking risks at this point in your careers when truly everyone's forgotten about you. So check out Couches, Incubus's ninth album. And they're back together. We're excited about it. Except the lead singer is not there. But the other men were?
No, they were not there either.
Okay, so just the bassist. The bassist from Incubus is promoting this album. That was just a microphone left by a couch, which is another name for this podcast as well tonight. Because we are on a couch. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you on Microphone by a Couch next week.
I'm not squirt, a squirt. Perfect person.
Jackpot. Yeah.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.